Matthew chapter number 4. Just a very simple story, but it really has a lot of little nuggets of truth in it. A lot of little nuggets that can startle us, that could get us to thinking about specific things. So we trust the Lord that He would be able to use it for us this evening. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18 beginning. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Story about men fishing. We don't have to really dig very deep to understand that these four men that left their nets, left their fishing, and followed Jesus, that fishing was their life. Fishing was their livelihood. Fishing was their business. It was serious business. They didn't do it lightly. Because when they didn't fish and catch fish, they were hurting. They just didn't have provisions for life. So it was serious business for them. A part of that serious job of fishing, the way that they fished, had to do with what is found in the second part of the story that was read. That is, they had some work to do besides fishing. They had to mend their nets. They had to keep them in order. They had to keep them in proper repair. I really don't know how to properly emphasize the seriousness of their job, or even the seriousness of mending their nets. Because it was all a part of what they were doing, and it was all a part of their livelihood. It was serious stuff to them. Jesus, though, takes the commonalities of their life and turns it to the spiritual when he said, Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It doesn't say it really real, plain necessarily in this passage. But I think that it's pretty safe to say, understanding what is taking place, what he gives to us here in the information, as well as what we find later on in other passages of Scripture, that Jesus was counting on these four men who knew the seriousness of fishing for a livelihood to also understand the serious realities of being fishers of men. It wasn't just something that was fly-by-night. It wasn't something that was just half-hearted. It wasn't something that they could just get by with being the least that they could be or the minimum that they could be, but there was an emphasis on seriousness. And I believe that Jesus was calling them with that thought in his mind, that they would transfer the seriousness of the physical livelihood of fishing over to the spiritual livelihood of fishing. It's serious business. As a matter of fact, if we look at Christ's example, over in John's Gospel, chapter 4, we might learn even that being a serious fisher of men is part of spiritual meat. He said, well, what are you talking about? Well, in John's Gospel, chapter 4, you can turn there if you'd like, but it's the story of Jesus at the well and the woman coming to the well to draw water. The disciples, you recall, went into the town somewhere to buy some food because they had been hungry. Jesus had been hungry. But when the disciples came back, they offered him the food, and Jesus said, I have had meat to eat that you know not of. Did someone give him meat? Did someone give him something to eat while we were gone? We wasted our time and money to get him some food when somebody came by and gave it to him for free? Jesus responded, my meat is to do the will of the Father. My meat is to finish the work that He has called me to do. So if we take that example, then we are made to understand that our responsibility as being witnesses or as being fishers of men is part of our spiritual meat. It would be embarrassing for us if Paul the Apostle were here and had to give the commentary like he did to one of the churches that he wrote to. I can't give you meat because you are not capable of taking meat. I have to give you milk. Spiritual meat. Did I hear someone say, pass the meat, please? But you see, that just as much or just as important that we find in the life of a fisherman, mending of nets was a very high priority. So also ought it to be for you and I to be checking out our nets, to be scrutinizing our nets, to be looking over our nets. For just perhaps, perchance, that there's something wrong with our net that we might use to cast out and try to draw somebody to Jesus Christ. I want to give you 5 suggestions this evening in ways that nets may often need to be mended. I'm not saying that these 5 ways fit you, but 5 different methods or 5 different areas that nets often need mended. The first one that I want to give to you this evening is the net of consistent Christian living. That's a hard thing to do on our own. Have you ever heard of somebody that had a problem with stories? And the story changed all the time because it wasn't based on truth. And because they couldn't remember all the things that they had said before, it was different here. And then the next time they told it, it was even different some more. Consistent Christian living. Spurgeon said this, a man's life is always more forceful than his speech. That's profound. But he goes on to say, if men take stock of him, they reckon his deeds as pounds and his words as pence. Now, I've found out this afternoon that it takes 100 pence to make a pound. So apparently, what he's saying is that the reckoning of deeds is far greater than words. If his life and doctrine disagree, they accept his practice and reject his preaching. I think what Spurgeon is saying is that consistent Christian living is more important than always talking about things. Consistency in our life and in our living. It wasn't very many days ago that I was challenged on something that I had supposedly said. I'm still not real sure what it was that I had said. I still can't get a hold. The person couldn't give me really what I supposedly had said. But I supposedly had given some pretty strong words of judgment regarding that individual to somebody else. And the context seemed to indicate that I was trying to tear that person down to the one that I was talking to. And again, I still don't understand what it was that I had said. But in the course of the discussion, in the course of talking with this person that was coming to me, and that was the right thing to do, I'm not in any way saying that that was wrong, but he had heard, so he came. But in the process of discussion, and him challenging me on something that I presumably had said, he laid out a blanket criticism of everybody in the holiness movement. I said, stop right there. I'm not even going to discuss this another moment with you. And I turned to walk away. And then he got all pious about it and whatever. But my point was simply, I had made some presumed statement of criticism, and yet he was allowed to criticize broadly people that were all around. How can it be? Well, what we're talking about here at this point is consistent Christian living. You see, that's not consistent. If I'm judging you based upon something that you said or you did, but then I turn around and do something just as bad or worse. We're not going to win too many people by the net that is broken by inconsistent living. Another net that needs to be addressed in our lives this evening, simply because of the lifestyle that we are brought into, and that is the net of earnest prayer. The fast lane, the busyness of our schedules, doesn't allow much time for serious, earnest prayer. We're very busy. We're very busy doing a lot of things. We're very busy doing important things. We're very busy doing unimportant things. But we're very busy constantly doing something. We have schedules to keep, places to go, all kinds of things. But earnest prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We must notice there that it does not say the prayer of a righteous man, but the fervent or the earnest, the one that is serious about their business of prayer. Can you understand why the net of earnest prayer needs to be properly mended in order to be able to catch and be a fisher of men? If our net of earnest prayer is broken, then probably our net of faith is also needing some repair. How's your faith tonight? Faith, you know what faith is. It's not something that is distant to us of what the Hebrew writer tells us that faith is, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith, that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, once again, it's hard to be the proper individual in being a fisher of men if our faith net needs mending. Number four, the net of personal witnessing. You say, that's a no-brainer. How can you be a fisher of men if you don't fish? Have I ever read you that story about the fishermen's conference? Might need to dig it out sometime and read it to you. They talk about fishing. They seminar about fishing. They do all this stuff about fishing, but nobody ever fishes. One person caught a fish, and he was sent all over the land talking about catching fish. But nobody else ever goes fishing. Witnessing. Ye shall be my witnesses. The story about Peter and John. You remember the story when they were thrown into jail? And then they were challenged. We'll let you loose. We'll free you from these bonds, but you have to promise us that you're not going to speak anymore in this name. I can just see the eyebrows lowering of Peter and John and the brow beginning to furrow quite a bit as the bewilderment began to sink into their mind. We want to be free, but what they're asking is a little too much. And their response then to those people, we cannot but speak these things. You see, a lot of people have things twisted around. They say, but we cannot speak of these things. Oh, but preacher, you said that it's my actions that speak louder than my words. Boy, how well you listen. But can you imagine trying to do what Christ has asked us to do if we only relied on our actions and our actions never portrayed because our voice also never kicked in? Grandma Gibson was a best friend to a lady by the name of Ann Day. Sister Day, brother and sister Day are very dear friends of mine, and I was thrilled to get to see them. Sister Day mentioned that the basic reason, the point that brought her and Grandma Gibson together to be best friends, was because once upon a time, Grandma Gibson wrote her a letter that was straightforward and challenging and potentially friendship harming. Because of the challenge, the strongness of Grandma Gibson do that? It's not hard to see that, was it? But there was a bond that was created because here was someone that just wasn't loving them in their actions, but also gave the expression in word. So don't just rely simply on your actions. Speak as well. But we cannot really fully talk about personal witnessing, having the net of personal witnessing repaired, without speaking about yet another one. And that would be the net of compassion. The net of compassion goes hand in glove along with personal witnessing. L.W. Barbee tells a story of a wealthy lady that visited the slums of New York and saw a little girl that was in rags playing in the gutter. She was horrified at the sight. She said to the guide that was with her, "Just look at that dirty child. Where is her mother?" The guide replied, "Lady, I know her mother, and I know she loves her child, but she does not hate the dirt. I can tell that you hate the dirt, but do not love the child. Until a hatred for the dirt and a love for the child is in the same heart, the child will continue being dirty." Isn't that good? Until a love or a hatred for the dirt and a love for the child is in the same heart, the child will continue being dirty. What a message for the church. The net of compassion. Not just see people that are on their way to a devil's hell, but have a love and a compassion for them that will cause us to go and be that witness, that will cause us to step beyond our boundaries or our comfort zones and become that vocal witness. If nothing more than the love of Jesus Christ. I had to tell someone just the other night, I'm not capable of handling all of your problems and all of your difficulties. But I said, I can point you to Jesus. You know, there's people all around us that may be hurting. And we feel like we have to do something for all of those hurts, put band-aids on all of those hurts. And you see, we're just not capable of doing all those things. But what we can do is point them to Jesus Christ. Really, what it comes down to is if we try to fish with nets that are torn in certain places, then we will not catch the fish that we ought to be catching. Did I hear someone say once again, pass the meat, please? Spiritual meat. Hungry for spiritual meat. Let's stand together tonight. Come and follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Brother Wagner, would you dismiss us tonight in prayer?